Welcome to a brand new episode of Back Pass with Raz. We're back after a very, very long time. Our last episode, we were featuring Nazrin Nasir, a Singapore legend. And in this episode, we'll have for the first time ever on our show a stand-up comedian from Singapore. Unfortunately for him, he's not the first stand-up comedian we're interviewing, but he's not only a stand-up comedian, he's an MC as well. He's a show host. He's an actor, I believe. He's a voiceover artist. Yeah, a man wearing many hats. And it's none other than Mr. Rishi Budrani. How are you doing, Rishi?
Hey, what's going on, Raz? Good to see you, buddy. Thanks a lot for having me, man.
Thanks a lot for agreeing to be on this show.
No, man, I really agreed because I thought I would be the first comedian, but you've obviously burst that bubble and told me that I'm not the first. So I just want to know how many jokes did Nazri do for you?
Nazri wasn't he just straight at the point, but the guy before you, the comedian, was probably you know him, Kevin J from Malaysia.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Coming from Malaysia, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, good friend of mine.
Yeah. He did
Good
it in
friend of
his
mine.
car. That's a funny
Yeah.
story. He did the
I
entire
well
interview in his car.
because he was late for the podcast, right?
Probably like, he didn't reveal that, but I had a suspicion he's either late or he's gonna go off somewhere. And then he say, "Oh no, I forgot about this. Okay, never mind, let's just do this."
I tell you, these
He
Malaysians,
blamed it on.
hey.
He mentioned about the acoustic being better in the car. That's the reason why he did it in the car.
I mean, if you are watching this, I just gotta say that's the most bullshit Malaysian reason for like being late or forgetting about podcasts I've ever heard in my life. That the acoustics are better in your car and therefore you gotta do a podcast recording from your car.
Yeah,
Anyway.
I'm sure you guess this. Anyways, Rishi, you've just come back from somewhere. Where do you go?
I've been taking a bit of a break during Chinese New Year, man, bro. I took a bit of a trip to the mountains in Nepal, and I was also up in Uttarakhand, which is the northern side of India. I spend some time there every year because my wife travels there quite a bit. She's got her a bit of a spiritual journey that she takes up to the mountains to
I
visit
see.
her guru. So get on board with the journey, go and see the sights, chill, take some fresh air in away from the pollution, eat like there's no tomorrow, all the clean, not clean, sorry,
Organic food.
not organic. Yes, I'm
It
still
is organic
eating.
in India, it is, right?
It is, I mean, especially up in the mountains, pretty much everyone is, a lot of the communities grow their own vegetables, you're kind of farming your own. Live animal products as well if you consume meat. So it's you're right, it's all pretty organic, but it was a bit freezing this time, like temperatures were dipping all the way close to zero in the nights and the early morning. So it wasn't the most comfortable, I'll say, but okay, once you layer up, you should be good.
All right, so I believe you had a good time there.
It was positive, bro. It was positive. Who didn't
Positive.
have a good time is my trainer and the rest of my football team, lah, bro. Because I came back a few kilos heavier, a little slower than I already am, a little less alert, a little more clumsy. So yeah, lah, bro. Everyone else didn't have a good time except me.
All right. I mean, as long as you have a good time and your wife, of course, as a married man, I know the wife, a happy wife is a happy, leads you to a happy life, right?
100%, brother. No need to argue. She said, go
Not
where?
sure
I
if
just.
she's around now listening to this, but
No, don't
yeah.
worry. This one is all insulated. During COVID, we had to build an extra room in case for the times that I was banished for irritating my wife. All of you watching, I'm sure you can
Relate to that.
identify with that feeling.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, Rishi, this probably be the first time you'll be on a podcast talking about football. Is that right?
That is quite accurate, lah, bro. For
Most
all
of the time, people
my.
would be speaking to you about your life, your career. This will be the first football
Yeah,
podcast.
yeah.
I
Yeah,
mean, the
man, you're
first
right.
one.
I mean, for all my love and passion for the game, and you know how much I talk about it on my personal socials or in my circles, or all the fun stuff I've done with it in my life, I haven't actually been on a proper show to discuss football. That's yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
All right, I will kick this off with a deep question. What
Oh,
does
deeper.
football mean to you?
Wow, man. Football to me, bro, is the risk of sounding too philosophical. It's my first love. I think the reality is that boys of my age at that time, I don't generalize or stereotype, but you know, a lot of kids around me, before we knew about relationships with human beings or you know, chasing girls or whatever. You fell in love with the game, because it was a time to be able to meet your friends. It was a time to be able to be who you were. It was a time to be able to explore, you know, your creativity, your personality, and it truly was, and I still maintain is my first love, man. Yeah.
Right, nice, same. It is my first love. I mean, I know, the wives around, they might be a little jealous. They might say, you should make me my first love, or when we have kids,
You
your kids
know,
first love, but football is football.
yeah, man, the
Well,
reality
you
is
never
that it's
forget
not
your first love.
it that's true, right? It's not a competition. It's
Yeah, it's
just
not a
that
competition. Yeah, we
that's
can
what
share our
came
love.
into yeah, that's what came into our lives at that point before we
Yeah.
met any of these, you know, wonderful people we love.
Yeah.
And I also always say that anyone who doesn't play the game can never understand, don't even bother trying to explain what it's about. Why is it that in your 30s you will finish work, put your kids to sleep, and then go for a 10 p.m. game, come back, blood because of the AstroTurf, bruise because some joker try and tackle you, or just a bit, you know, angry because you missed that shot. Nobody can understand it except people who played the sport, why we continue to do it at the last phase of our lives we're in. You know, I mean, I'm no pro or semi-pro or open. I'm just a dude who enjoys the game, man. You know, I go out and play games or you know, hang out with my buddies, make one good pass, one nice turn, one good tackle, score one goal. Thank you very much, man. I'm sitting out
And
the
you
rest
speak
of the
about it
game.
for days.
And I'll speak about it for. I'll be like, "Hey, remember what
Hey,
happened last week,
remember,
man? Did you see that one?" They'll be like, "Ah, this guy." But everyone there, right? Everyone kind of talks about their thing. Like we all have that mentality that, hey, if only that, you know, you should have seen me 20 years ago the way.
I have a friend. We always have this thing called the last time joke. You know, people how when they get drunk, they say, "Last time I used to play with Fandi Ahmad." That kind of thing, that kind of story. So this is the last time jokes. When you have one too many, and then you start saying, "Last time I can play with this guy." Now look at where he is. That is the
I mean, I'm sure there are people who played alongside Fandi Ahmad and you know dribbled past him when he was younger, but you know, it's the response to that is a very Singaporean response or a Singapore Malaysian response is last time policemen wear shorts. Hello, move on. In
exactly.
Singapore, we don't say like times have changed or you know, we're like, hey, hello, last time policemen wear shorts. Hello, move on.
Okay, so from playing football to watching football, which is your favorite club and why?
I grew up, one of the first teams that I watched and really enjoyed was Liverpool. And I've been a Liverpool fan ever since, man. I can remember, I guess maybe I was like 6 years old or something around there. Yeah, man, I just stuck with the team all the way. I was surrounded by Man U fans, by the way, my whole childhood and teenage, a lot of Man U fans around me. And I'm like, nah, I don't like that attitude, lah. I don't like that. I don't like the attitude, lah. Sorry,
Okay.
sorry. You know,
So
we are.
you're then.
I'm a humble, hardworking scouser at heart.
Well, they don't really, I mean, I don't think Liverpool fans are all that humble, but yeah,
They are
that's a discussion
only,
for another day.
yeah, they're only arrogant when it comes to Man U fans. Otherwise, I think they're like,
I think you could say Man United fans and Liverpool fans are probably the most in Singapore. So the two fan bases are the loudest here.
perhaps, yeah.
Yeah, so that's perhaps why when either of them is doing well, you will hear a lot from them. So, and how do you first get acquainted with football? Was it through family, friends?
Well, actually, it was under the block, bro. I grew up in the heartlands of Bedok, and I was very fortunate to have kids my age. At that time, a lot of boys my age who would just kind of show up under the block at a certain time. Someone would bring a ball, we kind of, dirty the walls, kick around, get into fights. Cops would show up, we'd run around to the top floors or to different blocks. Neighbors would complain.
But I got to talk about the cops coming and everyone scattering. That's fun. No cop, I've never seen a cop catch any kid. They come around, everyone scatters around like cockroaches.
Yeah,
Yeah,
you're right, bro.
and it's so good. Everyone just zoom. You gone in a flash.
Everyone knows the memo, bro.
Yeah.
Right, because it's instinct. Like, see, you see the cops, and most of the time, you don't even know. Like, looking back as an adult, you're like, were they really there for us, or was there some actual crime happening in the neighborhood? Maybe there was like a murder, or some shoplifting, or fight, or what. But everyone assumed like, no, they are here to catch the
Please, please, please.
footballers. Police, everybody just one fella, whoever has the ball, take. Run to the nearest other block. Whoever is near this block, run to the top floor and
Yeah.
hide. Whoever is here. I mean, it was just genius, bro. It was like army cannot replicate that kind of exercise.
Yeah, cannot. That kind of it's almost strategic the way everyone's runs away, strategy without having any strategy.
Yeah, instinctive, like you just know where to go.
And those who played on the open courts, perhaps they were basketball courts previously, or courts. All are basketball courts at that point of time, and you play in those courts, and then there might be a road nearby. So when you play and the ball goes out onto the road, you might be afraid, oh shit, you're going to hit the car.
There goes. Oh, sorry, I was
Or
saying the other thing.
worst case scenario, the car runs over the ball and versus it.
That's the worst case scenario. You're right.
Yeah.
I think we were not really concerned about whether he, okay lah. Yeah, we were lah. We were. Yeah, you're right. You're right. There was a
We
bit
were
of
because
fear.
sometimes the uncle might just stop the car, come out, and give us an earful.
No, you're right, bro. That did happen a couple of times in my neighborhood for sure.
And your earliest childhood memory with around football, this could be a match you watch.
Yeah, I guess remembering watching football at the National Stadium was a big thing, bro. I mean, my dad brought me my first game. I want to say it was versus Johor or something. Singapore versus Johor when we were still in the Malaysia
Malaysia.
Cup.
All right.
And it was an electrifying experience, man. I maybe was 7, 8 years old or something, just very, very young. I remember gallery tickets were like $2 or $5 or something, and grandstand is like $10. Like, oh, grandstand. No, like, then my father's like, no, $2. Just go gallery, relax. Let's go grandstand. And it was just electrifying, man. That whole feeling of being in the crowd, that feeling of
Full stadium.
cheering at the National Stadium. Yeah, it was full, man. Foolish, I guess. I struggle to remember now, but it didn't look empty, like.
Like nowadays.
Yeah, sometimes, I'm sure there have been multiple discussions about the state of football right now. And I go to the stadium when I can. Like, I was at the game with versus Thailand a couple of months back. I'm hoping to watch the Lions take on China in March, or is it April? Yeah, in the next month or so. And yeah, man, I mean, I think everyone, even today, everyone should bring their child or their nephews, nieces, siblings, cousins, whoever, right? If you've experienced that and you know a young person who has not, regardless of whether they watch or enjoy football, bring them into a sports arena and let them experience the magic of live sport, because I think nothing compares, like, bro. Yeah.
On that note as well, would it matter on the crowd size? Because if you bring someone to a stadium and then you see, there's just a sprinkling of people, some here, some seated there, lots of empty seats, not much of an atmosphere, it does probably rub off wrongly on the young ones.
No, you're right about that, man. That's why I see them with the Singapore fans. There's a lot of diehard fans that are at every game, and I see them in one like section, and they bring the flags, they bring the musical instruments, they've got everything, they've got the drums, they've got the paint. And where the last game I was at, I was actually in the box seats, lah, the VIP seats and all that, because I was invited as a guest. But then I saw down on the left side, I'm like, damn, that's where I want to be, lah, bro.
I know, I know.
That's
I
more
get sucked into
fun.
the VIP box as well, but whenever the game starts, I just want to be with the fans outside of the air conditioned room,
You know what I
you know,
mean?
with the
Yeah.
fans, nearer to the action.
It's always
It's
more
like
fun,
a
man.
different feeling. It's a completely different feeling. So are your family members big football fans?
Oh, sheesh, man. Like, define family, like, I
Family
brought my
people,
wife.
mother,
Like, my
where
parents
you're
know,
growing
bro.
up, mother, uncles, cousins.
Cousins, I guess. Cousins only. Not really the uncles and all. Yeah, everyone kind of played a little bit here and there, just for fun.
But they're not
But
like good fans watching games, they knew the players on TV and
rare. No, not in my family, lah. Okay, my dad, like ran a small shop, a tailoring business. He was working a lot at the time as well, so he rarely had time to follow football or what, lah. Those days, the only thing you follow is share market, lah. Call the son, is like, hey, hello, can you open the teletext and check?
Teletext,
Can you open the teletext and check whether this one is up or down, lah?
And I would wake up in the morning, every morning, I'll turn on the teletext to check the latest scores, the results, I mean the latest news, latest football news. That's where you got your latest, and then late you wait a bit till about 12-ish, then we go and buy the newspaper to get the entire scoop on what has happened and what has gone on. And there's these times where in the evenings you get Chinese, there'll be Chinese newspapers.
It Shinmin Daily News, ah?
I'm not too sure which publication, but I know there were Chinese newspapers that would sell, the uncle might sell it at the roadside.
Right.
And at that age, I will always wonder how good it'd be if there was an English newspaper that came out in the evenings, which would give us even more latest news from more latest football news. Now, those were, of course, the days before we had the explosion of the internet and all that jazz and smartphones. So, those were the days, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, true story, bro. It's a little different, but hey, I think there's always a chance to I wouldn't say bring back glory days, but what I try to do now is to acknowledge that, that was a nice time, but I also want to create the now for myself and for my friends and for the people around me, because I was telling you before we started rolling about, this jersey I'm wearing and how I got a bunch of my old boys together. We had a team like 20 years ago, in like college and in army or just secondary school, those times. And we all became very close, of course, just like football bonds you. And we had our first testimonial kind of friendly roughly around 20 years later. And it was really interesting to see that there are some of these guys who are simply the best human beings they can be on the pitch. Like, we haven't met, some of us haven't met for years, right? But then you see the way you treat each other on the field, off the field. You see the way you support each other. You see who's the leader. You see who's the hard worker. You see who's the creative little, nifty little genius. And It was just nice to see, la, bro. And I always feel like football can really bring the best out of human beings.
Yeah, indeed. You
Can bring the shitty
can bring
parts
out the
out as
worst out
well.
of human beings as well. I've also seen that a lot in my career. So yeah, in my line of work, of course, I've seen that as well, where you have someone who, you know, off the pitch is fantastic, very nice guy to speak to, speaks very well, kind, courteous. On the pitch, oh my God, it becomes a different beast.
But
And
that's
then you
okay,
have
right?
like, oh, okay, you know, hey, you know, I know we've got a good bond, but you know what? We've got to suspend you, man. You're getting out of line, man. So that's the flip side of what you've mentioned. Going back to your spell as a, I mean, as a Liverpool fan, ongoing spell as a Liverpool fan, what would you say was your greatest, the greatest joy and sorrow as a football fan?
Liverpool, ah.
Yeah.
Oh man, I think it'll be the same for a lot of Liverpool fans. I think the two big monumental moments in my adult life were, of course, Istanbul in 04. I was watching it live at a friend's place.
05 actually.
Oh, sorry, 04, 05, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Yeah,
Yeah.
05, correct.
That's the next season.
It was just magical, man, bro, that night. You see highlights coming up on social media, and every time that pops up, whatever I'm doing, right, I'll be like, ah, okay, I see, just watch that. Especially when someone puts the anthem at the back, you're like, ah, habis, forget everything else. What? No, where are you? What meeting show? Wait, give me 5 minutes. I guess there's that, and more recently, of course, the comeback versus Barcelona as well. The 4-0 comeback, that was again, iconic, monumental time as a fan. The tough and sad moments, I think the saddest one for me was Gerrard's slip against
Oh,
Chelsea
okay.
that year that could have been the one for him to lift the title.
Yeah.
Because someone, if you follow Liverpool's journey over the years, I think he's unfortunately the best Liverpool player that never lifted the
Won
title.
the title, yeah, I agree.
Lah. But yeah, I think that was quite a tough one, lah, a sad one.
And if you look outside of Liverpool, the other teams, probably the other team you support would be the Singapore national team. What would you say that the greatest joy and sorrow is following the Singapore national team?
I think one of the iconic moments that I remember, I wasn't in the stadium, I don't believe, I probably saw this on TV, was when I saw Wee Sundramoorthy doing the bicycle kick against Brunei back in
3.
96, maybe 93. Ah, okay, yeah, around that period. And man, that lit a crazy fire under my butt, man. Like everyone who watched it straight away
Do
the
you then
next,
try and replicate that
of
on
course,
the
bro.
ground?
All of us, everyone the next day, hey bro, hey, cross from there, cross me. Hey, you cross from there. The number of injuries we picked up, but all scared to tell, otherwise the mother shows cold. Like, who
Yes,
asked you to play? Who asked you to run?
I tried to do that at home, but this wasn't after watching Sundramoorthy. There was an 100 plus ad where the guy did a bicycle kick, and I tried replicating this at home. My father saw it. He got mad, hammered me, took the ball and threw it
Did you break anything?
90s kid. No, I didn't break anything. I didn't break any bones at all, but
Oh no, I mean any furniture or any glass or
no,
what while trying the thing.
no. I missed it. I missed the kick.
You
I
know
didn't even
what that
connect.
really, I'll tell you something about like this whole, sorry, to go back a little bit to hitting cars and all that. In the neighborhood I grew up in Bedok, there was maybe a few Indian families that were in the vicinity. So they would all the elderly ladies would come to the same playground and sit around and kind of chit chat, like all the senior citizens. My grandmother was one of them, and there was an open patch of grass just kind of nearby, lah. Okay, near enough that when we play, sometimes the ball would hit one of the aunties' heads. And that happened a few times, and we got really trashing, you know. And because my grandmother was sitting there, right, I can ask scolding from my grandmother. Even if I don't kick the ball, if it hits one of our friends, we don't want to get out. Told you already, how many times already? I told you don't play here. Huh? What's wrong? You got no brains, is it? Then the auntie there holding her head, like, oh, who kicked the ball? Bro, we really had to do a lot of things, yeah, just
And
to.
then these are like what, all Indians or North Indians?
I grew up in the neighborhood that I played football with. There was actually a mix of people, bro. There was a couple of Sindhi folks and Punjabi dudes. There was a couple of Chinese fellas. One or two Malay guys also. I had a very good South Indian friend who lived a few blocks down as well. He came and played with us a couple of times.
That's a good
That
mix.
was, I mean, that was just in the neighborhood, lah, like
Yeah.
that I grew up. But what happened eventually is that when I started going to like secondary school, see, football is a unifier, lah, to me, right?
Yeah.
I used to, like, for example, if I were to visit my cousin's neighborhood in Marine Parade on the weekends, I remember going there as a young kid. Then I would see these really almost violent street football games going on between the older kids, because it was competitive in that, okay, first to three goals, loser must buy drinks for the whole of the other team.
Okay.
So there would be, like, you know, really hard tackle, barefoot, like barefoot on
Yeah,
concrete,
barefoot, yeah.
right? Barefoot concrete, people will be flying blood sometimes. It was the kind, you know, lamppost, dustbin is the goal. Lamppost to dustbin. And I remember watching those games going at, okay, my neighborhood's soft, lah. If our Bedok fellas come here, wah, sure kena makan, sial. But I used to go to different places and play, lah. I remember there was once or twice I playing, then fall down, then I cry, because I was like, you know, whatever, 8 or 9, playing with the older kids, right?
Yeah, and that one, the you mentioned about the goal post and the pole and the dustbin. There's also another, yeah,
Lamppost and dustbin, yeah.
another variation is just to hit the pole. That's the goal
Oh,
post.
yeah. That's a tougher
Especially
one.
the basketball ones. Yeah, hit that pole. That's quite, now when you think back at it, it's quite a skill to just hit the goal post to score a goal.
It's damn hard, bro. It's
It's
like
not
skill
easy, yeah.
games.
It's a skill thing, yeah. It's good for shooting accuracy.
It is, it is. It's interesting you bring that up, because recently I found myself in a really awkward situation amongst some professional footballers.
Okay.
Because one of the things, okay, so ever since I started playing football again last year, I've just been playing around. Like, I've been training with someone who does like football gym kind of stuff at this company called Mad Kicks. His name is Madhu. I think
Madhu,
you
Madhu,
might know
yes.
Madhu. From
Yeah.
Balestier Khalsa.
Yeah.
A good guy, good friend of mine. You know, he says he's running this one-on-one coaching thing,
Yeah.
like it's like football PT, lah. And to me, because I've got injuries, I haven't played for like 6 7 years because of old ankle injury and all that, I'm like, okay, this sounds like something safe to go back in, learn a bit of drills, and just slowly ease in before playing games. And then one thing leads to another, and suddenly I've become like a Mizuno brand ambassador for season 2024. And I'm the only comedian amongst all these pro footballers at the photo shoot. Like legends, and then from Malaysia, they got people coming, and then there's this Premier League footballers, SPL footballers, and all that. And then someone goes, hey, okay, hey, let's play now. Let's play, see who can hit the crossbar. I'm like, oh, this one, huh? I mean, and that's when I thought about all this, that the stuff we've been doing as kids. Because look, I know maybe I got no fitness. I know I got no agility. I know I'm slower than I was. I know I'm less, you know, less fit, less everything, lah.
Less
But
physically conditioned.
the technique, you don't forget.
Yes. Muscle memory. I
So
saw your story.
yeah, so the moment the ball put there, and I put on my boots, and I'm like, pop. Kena, bro. Easy. Tak, tak, tak. I was like, that's at least nice, like,
Definitely.
no. Yeah, I
Yeah,
was like, I hope they
you
don't
can
ask me to like.
walk back with your chest puffed out now.
I said, I hope they don't. But bro, only the first two times. After that, hey, basket, what? Tired, pain, the quads, this, the hip flexor, that, never warm up. After two, three times, okay, enough, guys. Thanks very much. I'm gonna retire on a high.
Yeah, that's a good decision.
Yeah, no point, man.
Who do you say would be your all-time favorite footballer?
Wow, all-time favorite footballer. Man, there's quite a few.
You can list them.
At least them, huh?
Yeah, no problem.
I really liked the way Gerrard has played all these years. I really enjoyed. I think one of the best midfielders I've watched is actually Xabi Alonso. If we go a bit older, I remember watching Gascoigne a lot and thinking like, wow, this guy is untouchable, man. Pirlo, even I tend to like that is
Central
it the number
midfielders. Yeah.
that central midfielder DMC position, is it a number six position? Is that
Yeah.
correct?
It's like a deep lying playmaker.
Yeah,
That's
yeah,
how
yeah, yeah.
it is. Yeah.
It, in my head, in a perfect world, if I had the energy and the fitness, that is a position I would love to play. Where I can, link the
Link
defense with the
play.
midfield and then bring it up a bit and then, try and get some assists.
Ping
But
passer.
that, yeah, a bit of like pick passing, correct, correct. Yeah, exactly, bro. Like that to me, if that's my aim for 2024, like, to play at a level where I can, like, oh, okay, wow, okay, not bad. Make a string a few passes together.
And these guys always look very unflustered. You know, they get the ball. Like, no people coming down, close them down, no problem. Pump
Very
and pass
calm,
it down to someone. Give me back the ball, pump. I'll just play it long. You know, no problem. Nobody's gonna touch you. It's like nobody can tackle you at all.
I think it's beautiful, man. I mean, I played center back for most of my adult life, or like ever since I was
Quite
17,
a
16.
standard position for tall guys, right?
I mean, but I also felt like I would love to always, like veer
Venture.
out of position, venture out a bit, but I always cannot cover back. So every time I'm scrolling, I'm like, ah, okay, la, stay, la, don't go too far. Only corners are corners, yeah, I can go faster. But yeah, man, hopefully, my hope is that, this year, I try to get my fitness back a bit, try and, strengthen the injury prone areas a bit more, and play a bit of social stuff. I'll try and have some fun with it. Since now I got like boots coming in from Mizuno, I'll use. Try that.
And you registered for a league as well.
yeah, bro. I was registered by my cousin,
Okay.
to
All
be
right.
clear. Yeah.
Okay. So if you could swap your life with a footballer, who would you for a day, just for a day, who would it be?
What a day. Can it be an? Okay, I would actually like to see at this point in life now, I would love to live a day like Virgil van Dijk. Because I think to me, he's probably one of the best centre backs working in the business today. Because see, traditionally, you didn't find many ball playing centre backs. A lot of centre backs were very old school,
Yeah, the
hard
old school.
guys. They don't. Like, see, Virgil van Dijk, to me, he can take free kicks, he can shoot, he can spray, he can distribute. Very intelligent player. I just like to be in that mind for a while to go like, see, wow, damn, man, how, what is that mindset in the game that, like you say, allows him to be so calm under, and we've seen some crazy situations he's been like 1v2 where he makes the right call. Just very exciting to me, lah, to kind of learn and see what that might be like.
All right. And are you a big fan of World Cups and all the European Championships?
Yeah, bro. I mean, I've never been to one, sadly. I was hoping to go this year. Let's see. Never too late.
Okay. And
I
what's
think it's.
your best memory watching a World Cup? Like, which would you say was you have the fondest memory of this World Cup?
I think the clearest memory I have actually is of USA 94.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I think perhaps it was that time where, football was so new to us in that age. I was probably around 10 at that time or so, around
Yeah,
10 years old.
you 84, right?
I was 84 batch. Yeah.
Yeah, same. So yeah, we were 10 at that time, primary four.
Yeah, and football was so new, and there was that Brazil and Italy rivalry. And I think it was the first USA World Cup, if I'm not wrong. And they
Yeah.
were really, really keen to market the shit out of it to the world.
Yeah.
And they did such a good job of marketing it, you see?
Yeah, true, true. Yeah, that is for me till today my favorite World Cup.
So many things.
1994. So many great players. We used to watch
Yeah.
them all, very technically gifted. They're not they will in we put them in today's game, we wouldn't say, oh, this guy can last. Maybe athletically they're not there, but
Yeah.
technically nobody can touch them. Even you lose that in today's game, you don't have that kind of technicality. This kind of players that with kind of skill, the touch, the pass, the shots, they
Yeah.
can shoot from anywhere. You lose all
Yeah.
that. It's magic, the magic of football. That
It,
what attracted us to football in the first place.
I feel you, man. I mean, I think we are thinking of one person also together. Probably you're talking about Haji, right, from Romania at the
Yes,
time. He was
Haji.
one of them.
Yeah.
What a player that year, I remember.
At that time, we didn't get much. We don't know much about players. Like I started watching football about 91, and
Okay.
I've followed the English league, of course, through my father, and I
Yeah.
picked up Italian league because that became my favorite national team. So I started picking up Italian football. So I was watching both.
Right.
So outside of that, you don't know much about the players that played in outside of those two leagues. So when
Yeah,
you see
yeah.
someone like Haji and you see him play. I remember those days when the World Cup was on, it was during our June holidays. And you
Mm,
had
yes, summer.
kickoffs at about 7, 8 a.m. So it's just nice around at that age, you wake up at that time. It'd be just nice. Then we'll be having breakfast and be watching those games. And then you have these kind of players come on screen and do their
Yeah.
magic. Yeah, it leaves an impression even until today.
Agreed, bro. Beautiful, beautiful.
Okay, I know you're let's talk about Liverpool today, actually. They just won
Okay.
4-1 against Luton
Yeah, bro.
at
I
the time of recording this early this morning. Do you watch much of the games, in your career? I think you have a lot of nights out and that's when the matches are on.
Yeah, I don't get to watch a lot of football, in all frankness. I watch a lot of highlights or
Yeah,
reruns.
you gotta rely on that, right?
Yeah, because like you say, the prime time for a lot of these games, I happen to be on stage working at some place or the other. So I keep track of the scores if it's something that's interesting, or
Does
if
this
I've
happen
got.
like okay? Maybe you go off stage, like there's a break or something. You go off stage, a Liverpool game is on, and then you like see, oh, what's the score? Do you do that?
Yeah, I do that. I do that all the time. Because I know somewhere there is an audience that's also kind of following that. So I address it, like especially if it's
Okay.
private events. Not
Okay.
during my stand-up shows, lah. During my stand-up shows a bit less. But when it's private events, I know there are people in the crowd sometimes who are actually watching the game on their phones. So
Yeah.
I
Okay,
do
okay.
address it. I do address it, yeah.
And Liverpool, of course, of the big news, Jurgen Klopp's leaving at the end of the season. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's of course bittersweet, I think, because we all kind of know that it had to happen at some point, and I'm sure even he did, right? It'll be nice for him to leave on a high. I think the team is in the running in multiple competitions to be able to take it. Hopefully, that passion and that love for Klopp takes the team and the fans through in a positive way, and he nails all these other silverware that I think the team rightfully deserves. They've rebuilt themselves quite nicely, I think, now with the new players in the past couple of seasons doing really well. I think the style of play, which I really like, like I say, it's a proper team effort because you've got like goal scorers coming from everywhere. I think
Yeah.
we've got like four or five players on more than 10 goals in the season, which I don't know the full stats of the Premier League, but I'm guessing that's not the case with a lot of teams. I think it's rare to have like so
Yeah.
many players on double digits.
Different sources of goals. Yeah. And where do you think Liverpool would be at the end of the season?
Oh, in the Liga.
Everywhere.
In
Because
the
like you've
Liga.
mentioned, you're in running for so many different competitions.
Win now, win
At the
everything,
moment also,
lah.
Liverpool seem to be, juggling with an injury crisis at the moment. Doesn't seem to affect them. I mean, I have a lot of Liverpool fans, mentioning oh, we're having an injury crisis and all. I always say to them, it doesn't affect you. You're still winning matches. You're still going great guns. So no need to whine and moan
Yeah.
it.
I don't know, man. I think the new crop that's slowly figuring, finding their feet. I mean, someone like Nunez, for example. I know that he had some naysayers when he first showed up because he was missing like open chances and all that. But no lah, look at the way he gets into those positions. You can tell already this guy is someone who just needs a bit of time to figure it out, and then he did. And look at the kind of goals he's scoring now and the frequency at which he's scoring goals now. Even players like Diaz, very very impressive. I like the way Jota gets like goals out of nowhere, like clumsy fucking goals, but nice goals. I mean, at least he does them lah. Yeah.
Probably
Sorry, excuse me. It
people.
is on for TV or what? No, right? Relax,
No
ah,
lah.
bro.
Okay, Singapore football now. Do you watch much of, have you followed the S League from the time it started in 96-ish?
I watched it for a while. I went to a couple of live games as a kid.
At that time, 96.
At that time, back in the day, I think I watched
Your
a
local
game
club, I think,
with.
would be Geylang. Would have been Geylang, right?
Actually, I was following Woodlands Wellington at the time.
Oh,
That's what I
okay.
remember. I think because Sundram
Interesting.
went there.
All right.
Because Fundy went to Geylang, and then Sundram went to Woodlands Wellington, and I'm racist, so I went to watch. Sundram was my favorite player, lah. So I just went like, "Hey, I want to see what this is about," So I think I believe I was definitely in the stadium for at least one game, maybe more. But like a lot of people of that generation, once you had experienced the magic of that rivalry of having Singapore in the Malaysia Cup, you yeah, man,
Doesn't feel the same anymore.
it didn't feel the same at all,
But you do
unfortunately.
make a point to watch the national team play then.
I try my best. This is a new thing. When I again rekindled my love for football sometime last year, I had lost my connection with it for maybe 7, 8 years. Because of injuries and the fear of just going, even if you play socially, sometimes you never know when your this buckles or you that foot goes wrong or some joker tackles you or you just fall awkwardly on your own or what. And then because of my line of work, the moment you pick up an injury, then you cannot maintain your general fitness, you cannot maintain and you feel like shit and all that. So I did face that for a while. Stayed away from it for a good, well, I want to say almost a decade on and off.
Okay. So you
Yeah.
fell out of love. So maybe you would have, I would have, if I had approached you at that time, you might have said no to me.
It is very true. I probably wouldn't have the knowledge of the things that I'm talking to you about now. Some of the more current things. Yeah, I would be able to tell you about my experiences from the past, but
Current
yeah,
thing,
I
okay.
mean, yeah, I do enjoy it truly. I mean, it is something that I believe, when played mindfully, is a sport that I believe people should be playing all the way till you are 60, 70 years old. In Japan, they do that also. I know, like one of the things I'm talking to this venue, the cage, about. We were having this discussion about active aging through football, and it is something I truly believe in. Nobody's asking you to go and be a bloody hero and do bicycle kicks at 65 years old. But to hang out, string a bunch of passes together, get a nice run out on the pitch. I think you should be able to do it. It shouldn't have to be that, aging is about Tai Chi or,
Yeah, the slow move, slow motion sports.
don't have to be.
Yeah.
And again, not everybody has to do everything, but I think there should be an option. It should be an encouraging option for this to happen. That's what I hope to.
Yeah, fair point. There's also something called the walking football, where people play football while walking, and that's quite good for seniors to
Is
still
that a
be.
real?
Yeah, that's real.
Oh, really? Yeah, that means
Yeah.
not allowed to run. Huh?
Yeah, you're not allowed to run, you just walk.
Someone in my group actually cracked this as a joke. He's like, okay, today's game, anyone sprint, yellow card. Oh, man. Okay. Interesting.
And moving on now from football to your career, how do you get into stand-up comedy? I think probably this is the question that you've been asked a lot.
People seem keen to know how. I think most people are just keen to understand how is it that a joker can make a living in a country like Singapore,
That is also true. I'm wondering that, and also on like probably, being Indian, our background is always on, you got to do well academically, get a good stable job. That's always been the mantra from when we were young.
True.
So
I
this is a
guess
bit of a off the beaten track thing.
yes and no, because I'll tell you something, I was very lucky at a very young age to be able to kind of have the support of my folks, lah, I'll
All
say,
right.
from very young, like 17, 18 years old. Basically, when I proved that I can study, because I went
That
to
not very
I went
important.
Once my father knew, because my father wrote me off in his mind.
Yeah.
I mean, not wrote me off, but he was prepared that, my son are gonna cock up, then must pay for private education. Then, because all the people around us, all his friends, all would tell him, the kids, it's okay, lah. No need to go local university or whatever. Yeah, let them send overseas, let them enjoy. So my father also in my head, in his head, like, alamak, basket, I spend money on these boys, stupid fellow. Fooling around. Then when I studied and got into a college and I got into a NTU course of my choice, communications at the time. Then he's like, ah, okay, good. Well done. Now I'm going to do what you want. So he never questioned me after that. I was very lucky.
Okay.
Because I was also, I was working through uni. I was doing a bunch of things. I was training in speech and drama. I was dancing at weddings. I don't know if you ever knew this, but my first job in show business was actually, we were part of a Bollywood dance troupe, a bunch of us.
Okay.
So it was like a lot of Punjabi and Sindhi weddings, go dance 3 to 5 minutes, 5 to 7 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. And then somewhere in between, I started training as an actor in university. I did an acting training program. And then, sometime around 2011, the world of stand-up comedy opened for me. There was an open mic. I went to watch 2 times, and then the third week I went on stage. And then from there, every week I've been on stage somewhere in the world at some point.
And you got to go through the hard times. I believe you have to work on your material.
Yeah,
Initial
stand-up
days, I'm sure
is.
there was a struggle. I don't think you immediately, when the first time you took the mic, you would say, well, everyone was laughing their heads off.
Well, no, because again, I was the first time I did open mic stand-up comedy. Of course, I was an amateur comedian, but by then I had already trained 2 years as an actor. I had already been emceeing for 3 years, so I had some kind of experience in live audience,
Okay.
some kind of at least confidence with a mic or in front of people. Of course, I wasn't the brilliant comedian starting out or whatever. Oh, it's all work in progress. But among people who were starting out, I had a bit of an edge because I was comfortable on the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was interesting. I felt very natural. Yeah, I wasn't, of course, there were jokes that died. Some jokes did well, some people didn't understand. But I fell in love with it. Second time I fell in love. See, like, football and comedy. I always related to the same thing because I realized that football is also, in a way, right? If you play it in a stadium or what, it's like a performance. So I always say the field was the first stage I ever played at. Now I get to play on, whatever comedy club stage, or I get to play at nice theaters. I get to, travel a bit, or even, I got to play at the biggest event in the country, like NDP, for example. So I think it all kind of started under the block of Bedok South. That was the first stage, lah. People watching you, and then you kind of doing your thing. Yeah, that's why I'll always be indebted to my times of playing football, because I think it has shaped who I am as a human being.
All right. Would you say there are any stand-up comedy gurus or masters that you learn of?
I didn't have like a mentor guiding me through life, lah, unfortunately. That because you know what they say, right? Especially growing up as a comedian in Singapore, I've always believed that you can't ask anyone for directions to a place that they themselves have not been before. You know what I mean? Like my career, what I'm doing, for example, a lot of things I was the first to do. So I cannot ask anybody. You know what I mean? Like, okay, for example, Singapore comedian go to Hong Kong to take part in a competition. Ask who? Nobody has done it before. You know what I mean? Or, Singaporean comedian fly to the US to go and do spots at local clubs. No Singaporean comedian had done it before I went there. So it was a lot of me figuring out the path. And now I'm very happy because now the younger comics ask me, they're like, "Hey, Rishi, how to this one? They are calling me about this. What do you think I should do? Or how to quote, or what should I do? Or is this fair? Or should I do this or what?" I can tell them, like, "Yeah, okay, I've done this. I think you should do like that. Or this was my experience. You can make up your own mind about it." But at least there is something I can give back to the community, like, which I do all the time. Like the younger comics, anyone calls me, I'm always happy to share and advise and guide where I can. So while I didn't have any one specific person, I guess the best advice came from this person named Jonathan Atherton. He was the founder of the Comedy Club Asia. And I remember my first 6 months doing comedy, I met him. And I asked him, "John, can you give me some advice?" And he said, "Rishi, there's no advice. Three things, just remember. Keep writing, keep doing stand-up comedy, and keep watching professionals do stand-up comedy live." So I was like, best advice ever, right? Because it's not specific to anybody, because everyone has their own journey. But if you keep doing these things, you keep learning. You keep learning, you keep growing, you keep figuring things out, and hopefully keep becoming better at the craft.
You're holding a cup called Rishi Report. I've seen that on Instagram.
Yes, please watch my
You,
show.
yeah, on the In local context, we know a lot about Singapore being a place where you cannot say a lot of things against the government or talking about government policies, and
Right.
a lot of things are taboo or things you cannot touch on. But you somehow managed to, I would say, maybe toe the line. I think only you and Kumar are the ones that can somehow address this and come off funny and not get into the on the wrong side of the law. Like when you're doing this kind of material, how do you like write it in such a way, or is there, do you have to go through a censorship process that you have to show your writing to someone and then from the government, or and then they say they vet it and say, okay, you can say this, you can't, or you can't say that?
Okay, that's a damn interesting question, man, Russ. For the live shows that we do in theaters, for example, if I'm doing a show at Esplanade, for example, for those live shows which are ticketed, we have to submit our content to the They call it the Infocom Media Development Authority to get an arts entertainment license. So, in that case, yes, we kind of have to give the content. Sometimes it's not word for word, but you kind of have to give your script lah, as close to possible as what you're going to be performing. When I do work on TV, same process. There has to be a vetting done by the same body that I told you. Online, however, there is no formal application or license to do. So you just do your own stuff on your own social media. Because the online people who you want to be careful of is not the government, actually, is the people who will cancel you if they
The
don't agree with
public.
you. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. And me talking about politics or news or current affairs, I think it's about intent, right? My intent is not to go and, start a revolution or what. No, I mean, I'm talking about what concerns society. I'm bringing awareness to issues that, maybe some people did not know about or maybe heard about but did not have context. I'm trying to make the news more palatable and make current affairs more palatable to the audience through humor. That was the concept of the Rishi Report la. I mean, in a slogan which I really like, which I came up with for another show actually, the idea is to turn headlines into punchlines. Which makes people go like, oh yeah, actually I saw this guy doing this about this, and then I went to look more and oh, I realized that now we are going to be, sending out 60,000 male mosquitoes to go and impregnate the female mosquitoes so that, I mean, like, I didn't know, like,
To reduce the risk of AIDS.
yeah, right. So, like, does that mean, like, NEA is now, like, a dating agency for mosquitoes in Singapore? So that's a joke, right? Obviously not. But then when people hear it, they're like, hey, yeah, what's going on? Are there anything? Oh, then I hear conversations that happen after the comedy set in the clubs. And like, yeah, then one friend will tell it. He's talking about it. He's like, oh, you didn't know about it. Simply go on. So in a way, I think it's to educate society as well. Like, hey, don't have to be scared to talk about these things. They are issues concerning you and me. We can talk about them. It's okay. And again, the intent is not to vilify or whatever. It's to have a proper discussion. I've not been pothmark because I don't believe in presenting my opinions as facts. I'm very clear about that one thing. Because that is the thing that can get you into trouble in Singapore, where if you present your opinions as facts, I always stick to the facts and then I give my opinion about those facts.
Well, but it's still a very careful game you got to play.
I think you should be, man. I trained as a journalist for 4 years. So
Some background there.
I wanted to I think rigorous journalism is important. I don't believe in like anyhow go and say or I don't like doing that, so you know what I mean? Yeah.
And now going to your fitness journey, you just recently embarked on a fitness journey. You have some topless shots of yourself showing the works of your
Oops.
labor. How impressed was your wife, first of all?
He was absolutely not impressed, bro. He was like, just went like, hey, so who are these? Who are the young girls who are DMing you in your Instagram now?
Oh, standard. Okay.
I said, don't have lah. My God. And true, bro. The only DMs I got was from middle-aged pai fellas or like Indian buggers. Hey bro, how much Hey, what do you eat? Hey, how many must expensive these were the only questions I got. Hey bro, power or six pack? Hey bro, how much They said how much? I never buy this, bro. It's not like I bought one six pack and put there.
What got you on the on this fitness journey? How what this what made you want to start this in the first place?
This was actually a post-COVID realization I had because It was again a tough time for all of us in show business. And I also lost a friend, which I was telling you about before we started rolling. And I think that whole period of the pandemic, I was physically and mentally very unhealthy towards the end of 2021. I was in the worst shape of my adult life that I'd been, because I was binge eating, binge drinking. Yeah, I mean, I'd never done this in my life before, but I used to have like 24 pack, like Heinekens, just kind of there. And then later, there was a lot of Zoom interviews, podcasts, all happened, right? Bro, inside will be beer.
Oh.
Oh, now I'm drinking coffee lah. Now fitness all get ready. But those days it was like that. I just gonna open one beer, do the show. So after a while it was like bad lah. It was not good, and I realized that I want to change things for myself because things were opening up as well. And that's how it started, really. I gave myself a goal. I met a trainer, and I told him
What's your
that,
trainer's
so
name?
my trainer's
Do
name
you
is
know?
EJ Philip from Alpha Beast Fitness.
Okay, EJ Phillips from Alpha Beast Fitness.
That's
So
right.
that's a plug-in for him. So anyone wants to get into shape, get in touch with him.
If you guys are watching, actually, we are starting this year's journey from March to May 2024, which is a 100-day period, 12-week training program. And there's a few of us who are going to be doing it on the same timeline. And he's opened up because he personally trains a few people every batch. So he's got some slots to personally train in this batch. So I mean, if you guys are keen, trust me,
That's
it's life-changing.
the standard question. Hey, how much? How much?
How much you call him. But I mean, in all frankness, if you make
You
a
have to
comparison,
make this known that it's not free. It you have to
it's not
pay
free.
for
No,
the
no, no. I have to pay. I have to pay. I have to pay. I have to pay. It's bread and butter lah, for
Of course,
whatever.
because the way you've worded it, maybe some people think, oh, maybe this could be like a reality TV show. Know that, oh, I can go and lose weight. No,
Oh
it's not.
no. It's
You got to
not
put
like
in
that.
weight. And you feel better now after being on this journey? What changes have you made?
I think the process lends itself to my personality very much. Like, I'm a guy who really believes in delayed gratification. I mean, my stand-up career essentially relies on it. You've got to go into the little clubs to try out the jokes. I've got to sit down and write the jokes. I've got to test it out. If it works, I keep. If it doesn't work, you tweak. And it's a process. Maybe, 3 months, 5 months, 6 months down the road, you have a full new show, and then you go to the big theater. And what people who buy a ticket to your big shows, they see you for 1 hour and they're like, this fella damn good lah. But how you come up with all this? I'm like, it took me half a year. So the workout process, the gym process is very similar. The first day you go in, like, hopeless, bro. Like right now, I'm sitting here. I started training on Monday. My legs are gone, bro. I cannot stand up. All right, because I've been off training for so long.
But that's a good
But
kind of pain, right? That's a good pain, yeah.
one of the things that I learned also is to, be able to distinguish between the good pain and the bad pain.
Okay, yeah.
Because the bad pain, like, shit, touch wood,
Yeah.
fuck, something is gone. Excuse my language. But the good pain is like, okay, that means we worked these buggers today. These buggers have worked after a long time. That's why they are screaming or shouting. Yeah, man, the idea and bringing the discussion back to what we were talking about, right? Football. The first couple of years of training that I did was a bit more aesthetic. That means the first year, the goal was to appear on a fitness magazine cover. That was me and the trainer. We talked. It was like, hey, bro, what, it'd be funny to have a comedian on a fitness cover of a magazine, right? So eventually, we did that, bro. I was on the cover of Esquire magazine in November 2022, which is unheard of because the next fella they put was Ranveer Singh, billion multi-million dollar Bollywood star. And then last year we did this thing called a bulk and a cut. That means okay, like okay, we've seen what my body can do now. Let's try and get a bit more shape, get bigger. And this year's goal is to be functionally fit for football. So it's not so much on the aesthetic, it's more about being game ready. That means the exercises change a bit, the diet changes a bit. I've never been an athlete in my life, lah, bro. But suddenly, when I'm reaching 40 years old, suddenly I'm being asked to go and do a BIP test for football, aero test. And I'm like, what? Ask it, guys. Sure or not? Are you sure? IPPT as well. I never do it, you know, for many years. So yeah, man. So those things have changed. Like my life has taken a positive turn completely, not just professionally, because you never know what doors open up when, you know, all these things happen. I started getting fitness endorsement deals. I started, I became an ambassador for Standard Chartered Marathon a couple of years back. And never in my life thought, I'm like, this guy, bro, I got flat feet, valgus knees, in ankle injured. Suddenly they're like, hey, will you be ambassador? I said, okay, I'll come.
Okay, yeah, as
Yeah.
long as it's you, right?
Yeah, well, it's one thing, but it's also a bit of a personal goal, right? Like I never run that distance in my life, which was only 10K.
So
It was
you actually had, as an ambassador, you got to actually run the race. I thought you're just there, more, just saying
no.
race,
Have
like
to
a race.
lah.
Oh,
Cannot be
okay.
so wayang,
You
bro.
gotta walk the talk also, okay.
So I was training for a couple of months for that also. Because again, different, right? Like weight training, bulking, and all that is different from like distance running training,
Distance running, yes, strain, stamina and
which is different.
endurance, especially.
Yeah, correct. And that's different from football training. So I just find it's like once a year, I will just take on a new fitness goal. Just to keep it exciting for myself so I can continue to be healthy and continue to just have some fun along the way, man.
Yeah, at least some goal, some motivation for you so that you don't lose track again and go down that path.
Yeah, 100%, man. Sometimes that there's that danger, lah, you know. So we all just I'll just try to keep as careful as possible.
All right, great. So before we end the show, I'm going to name football positions. First
Okay.
name that comes to your mind when you think about these positions,
Wow,
goalkeeper.
okay. René Higuita, the Colombian keeper from Scorpion Kick. Yeah. Oh, hey, bro, that's him. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's our ambassador unofficially.
Nice.
Defender.
I mentioned Van Dijk earlier, but I think one of the best I've watched is also Maldini
Yeah,
over the
certainly.
years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with Italian defenders. There are so many. They were great.
You know, that's true, but they were also destroyers, lah.
There were some, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, watch Cafu play, or you watch, I don't know, was
Cafu,
Roberto
Brazilian.
Carlos?
Yeah,
Yeah,
Roberto
Cafu is
Carlos.
Brazilian player.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys
Different
were
type of
just.
defenders, those, yeah.
Yeah, I think I liked the way Maldini played. One of the messiest but most effective defenders I've watched was actually Sammy Hoepier back in the day.
And
Messy,
Liverpool back in
clumsy.
the day had this guy called Stefan Honcho. He
On show,
was always looked like he's out of breath, and his cheeks were all red. And you always feel okay, you can get a run on him. You can get a run on him, but he somehow very effective as a defender.
It was it's, that team had some weirdly effective players lah. Even Marcus Babbel at the right, if you remember, this
Germany.
awkward lanky German bugger, but
Yes.
somehow effective.
Right.
Like it
True.
made
Okay,
sense,
midfielder.
midfielder. I'm a big fan of the way Pirlo plays lah. Pirlo, Gerrard, Alonso. Of course, Zidane is very, very just sexy player lah. But these are the few names that have come up. Yeah, Paul Scholes, very underrated, but very powerful. One of the most underrated Man U players, actually.
Okay. Striker. or forward, because so this in this position you can name a playmaker, you can name a striker, a finisher. Who would you name?
Oh man. I thought one of the most unexpectedly prolific strikers was Robbie Fowler.
Oh,
Like,
Robbie
see,
Fowler was great in his time, yeah, at Liverpool.
but when you see him, you're like, this guy is not fast. He's not big. He's not particularly, like, he doesn't do much.
Yeah.
But the positions he got into, that his first start, Bergkamp, another one. Bergkamp, bro. Oh, man. That is Bergkamp. Best first touch I've seen in the game.
Yeah,
One of
yeah.
the best.
One of these, yeah.
Yeah. These were some of the strikers that come to mind. Yeah, I like some of these players quite a bit. I'm trying to think of, is there anyone else who's a bit of a more out and out striker that was good? I mean, I watched.
There was one, yeah. Well,
Sorry?
Paulo was one out and out striker.
Yeah, Fowler.
Was
I guess that
really,
was,
really in and around the box. Give him a chance, he'll score.
yeah, very quick. Brings first touch, pow. They don't waste time. It's not like, see, nowadays you see a lot of strikers go left, right, cut this, that,
Yeah,
pow, pow. But
they want to try and walk the ball in, yeah.
eight defenders are around you already, but then
Yeah.
I think yeah, these are some of the players that were damn good lah.
Yep. All right. That will do. Thank you
Yeah.
so much for taking the time to speak to us, Rishi.
Thanks a lot, man. I
Yeah,
appreciate
we'll
you
be in
having
touch.
me.
I hope you will. Yeah, I mean, I hope you will listen to our episodes as well. If you have the time, of course. And I wish you all the best in your career, your fitness career, and hopefully we can meet up one day soon.
Yes, for sure, man. Russ, thanks a lot for the time, man. Appreciate it, brother.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Cheers.
Yep. See you at the next game, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully, if you're there.
Yes,
Okay.
I'll try to be there.